Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I guess we can start there as well as anywhere. It does seem like everyone who gets on that dais is immediately fat. Thoughts?
Isn't that the truth? Time has been hard on Bib Fortuna.
He needs a standing desk.
You'd think he learned after one Jedi came walking in and just strolled up, killed every guard in his way, and then killed Jabba.
I like that no one on security has a gun.
No, none.
These axes, they're going to do a bang-up job.
No.
Apparently, the trick is just go in at night. They'll never see it coming.
No, there was too soon. It was daytime.
Oh. I got my hopes up for a second because I was like, they're going to drop her down in that pit. And I was like, what are they going to have in there now since Luke did away with the Rancor? Did they find another Rancor? What's down there? So that's one of the big questions going into season one of the Book of Boba Fett.
I think you mean the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I guess he's probably going to gain weight.
It's only a matter of time.
That his father's armor is very snug now.
Yes.
When you sit in the throne, you never get back up.
No.
You have a barge for that.
But no guns. The Aztecs have taught us nothing.
That's right. I'm dying to know if this means... Well, I don't know. It's just kind of bizarre that where they went in the past with Darth Maul was, you know, he took over a criminal syndicate. And so I'm curious if what we're seeing... Obviously, time has passed. I wonder if what we're seeing is the end of him taking over the criminal syndicate. Or just the beginning, like, oh, I'll just go to the top, kill him, and then work my way into helping all the rest of the criminals understand that I'm the boss.
I believe in storytelling, it's customary for books to begin at the beginning.
Well, I don't know.
Ariel perhaps can enlighten us. He did a whole podcast on writing. Isn't that how it goes? Usually the starting point?
Usually. Sometimes you flash forward a little bit, then go back, but... It seemed to me like that he was just getting started, but what do I know?
I'm curious if all the other ones even know who Boba Fett was. Boba Fett.
I mean, it's been 5 years.
Oh, that's right. It hasn't been that long for them.
Yeah.
Boy, he got old in 5 years' time. Jesus, that Sarlacc really put a toll on his ass. You know, I didn't put that part. Jesus. Boba Fett, damn. Yeah, he aged quite a bit in the belly of that beast.
It's a stress, you know.
Apparently.
While you're being slowly digested.
Yeah.
Puts the ears on you.
Well, there was evidently other things to eat in there. We know this.
There had to be. Yeah.
He digests so slow. There's like a bunch of roasted turkeys in there. There's like, you know, a few pizzas.
You know, at a minimum, Marvel's going to have a miniseries that's devoted to how Boba got out of that shit. I mean, there's bound to be.
A miniseries or an episode?
I think a six-part comic that starts with each part of the Sarlacc digestive system as he works his way through. And then the last one, you know, is the business end. We lost Key.
Yep. I don't know. I'm having a tough time like envisioning Disney Plus's the Boba's Gambit. I don't know. I don't see miniseries. And step one, I got shit out.
I was thinking comic books. I was thinking comic books, not a show. But hey, whatever.
Well, as Ariel just said, we did lose Keep for the moment. Thank you. Who's your guys' cable provider down there? I don't even remember.
No, I don't. Time Warner or something.
There you go.
Official sponsor.
No, I'm sure. We'll circle back to them. But we'll do a station identification, as it were, here for a second. This is Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I'm Cyrus Mardazavi, by the grace of Xfinity, still with you. Coming from the ATX, by the grace of, I guess, Time Warner, it sounds like, we have Ariel Rodriguez.
By the grace of Google Fiber, myself.
Interesting. How one product worked and the other did not. We have our first official unsponsorship. At some point, returning with us will be Keyshawn Xavier. And we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, I'm sure. But first things first, The Mandalorian Season 2. Ariel, opening thoughts. The floor is yours.
Man, where do we even... I mean, Luke! The X-Wing showed up, and I was like, well, of the Jedi that I know... I just finished Clone Wars recently. Watching Clone Wars, and I'm starting into Rebels, and I'm familiar generally with where Rebels ends up. So I was like, okay, let me run down who these Jedi are that this magic temple could have contacted and left a voicemail. There's Ahsoka, which you've already met. Ezra, whose whereabouts are unknown, from Rebels, and Luke, and maybe some of the ones that are, you know, unknown. So I was like, well, the list is short. And then the X-Wing showed up. I'm like, oh boy, it's probably Luke. And then the green lightsaber, gloved hand. And I was like, I can't believe they're going to do this. They did it. They tied Mandalorian into the main storyline in a very strong way, I would say, other things that they've done in the past.
It was incredibly satisfying. In a way that, even though I thought we might see it, I wasn't prepared for just how much I would enjoy that. Oversized hands and everything. And, you know, deep fake Mark Hamill's face on there. But
They could have, I know they wouldn't have, but they could have recast him or done something where, like, they tried to make it more believable, but... Since they already went the Carrie Fisher and the Moff Tarkin route in other films, I guess this was inevitable. They invested so much in that de-aging tech. They got to keep using it.
Well, it's a different actor.
Yeah. And then they swap faces or whatever.
Yeah.
But they could have used a different actor that kind of looked similar and just let that actor be that actor, but be Luke, young or middle-aged Luke, or however you want to look at it. But no.
I believe the Marvel terminology is old, young Jean Grey. So I guess we're going to refer to him as old, young Luke Skywalker.
Works for me. Or just, oi, Luke Skywalker.
The precedent has been established. Speaking of updates, I have a note that Keyshawn is having to update his iOS. He says it'll be a couple of minutes, and that is not correct.
You'll quickly find that it'll say 19 minutes till update.
And then that bar will not move. And I expect it's been 84 years gift from him in about 12 minutes. It's the reaction to that scene has been interesting. There's part of the fandom, and I think we fall in this category, and I know Key does, has been like, oh my God, yes, finally. I needed to see Luke Skywalker at his at the peak of his powers, as it were. And there's the group of the fandom, the ones that violently cling to The Last Jedi being the best film in the canon, are like, fan service, trying to undo what Rian Johnson did. Rian Johnson's a genius. We have to have the Skywalkers again. And it's like, yes, you do. Given the story they were telling, Luke has to be the guy. It doesn't invalidate The Last Jedi unless you violently wanted to.
It's set much later, right? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Like, having Luke there does make sense.
I think you'll find a great deal of Star Wars critique doesn't make any sense. People just want to be angry. I'm going to try my best to avoid that here.
It was enjoyable. It was a very enjoyable episode. He put a band together to go do a mission. The action where Mando himself is fighting Moff Gideon and the Dark Troopers was really great. Those Dark Troopers are scary AF. Like, they did a good job finding some formidable enemies for him to fight.
I'm going to put a pin in that. I want to come back to that in a second.
I mean, they're a little scary, and then they take a really long time to boot up. Kind of like Keith's iPhone right now. But, you know,
That's what the I stands for.
Interminable.
I was gonna say Imperial. That's better.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Yes.
And you know, the whole Mandalorian, like they did so much work in the Clone Wars, having just me just watched it, you know, building up the whole Mandalorian culture and exploring that you got to have Bo-Katan around if you got that darksaber.
But you have a Mandalorian. She's the heir to their throne.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you with the darksaber and Bo-Katan and Din Djarin and all of that, like they just have to continue that story, right? Bo-Katan has to be involved. So having her there, like
I agree.
Really makes sense.
There's a portion of the fandom that does not. Unequivocally, this entire season is a triumph.
Yeah.
If you want to shit on it, check your agenda out the door. As Ariel just laid out for you, it would actually be weird to not tie it into the mythos. I mean, you actually were the great test case for this because you had not finished Clone Wars prior to starting season two.
Right.
And you were still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You definitely get something, much like the MCU, there's a joy in watching them all and getting all this to the story, but they stand alone.
They do.
I don't know why you wouldn't do that. So honestly, if you think that's a mistake, you're probably just trying to, you have an axe to grind, and I don't honestly want to hear from you.
And I mean,
I'm happy to hear critique, but let's do reasonably.
Yeah. And it was straight up fun. Every aspect of season two was fun. Like even the episodes where, because I have other friends that were like, oh man, every Mandalorian episode is the same. It's like, Mandalorian, I will help you with your next phase in your journey, but first you have to do this one job for me. And it's like, okay, you could see that pattern, but mm-hmm. they were all fun. Every single time that happened, it was a hell of a ride. And you learn stuff about the characters. He picked up new, you know, friends and foes along the way. It was a great season.
Yeah. I wonder if those people also complain about Indiana Jones constantly digging for shit. Again, if you want to complain, I'm fine. That's fine. Let's talk it out. That's part of the joy of these things, but come at me with something real.
Yeah. Otherwise, it seems like you're looking for a different show. Like, go watch a different.
Yeah. Or why don't you just want to be angry?
Or, yeah, or do that. Yeah,
and not that there wasn't plenty of reasons to be pissed off about it this year.
Yeah, exactly.
But The Mandalorian's not one of them.
Definitely not.
So, okay. I enjoy Rosario Dawson as Tano.
Yeah, me too.
I thought she worked. I understand that there's some litigation going on in the background that everyone's not thrilled with. The more I read about that story, the weirder it gets. So,
yeah. Yeah.
It's odd. I guess the allegations are true. Yeah, sure. That's awful. Given the announcement of Rangers of the New Republic, I'm now deathly afraid that Gina Carano is going to talk herself out of a job.
I've been thinking the same thing. Disney, you know, doesn't have a track record of being very forgiving when people off show do things that, you know, piss people off and hurt people. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think the initial controversy was just kind of a mistake in her not wanting to, as I understand it, wanting to, you know, be to back down to cyberbullying. Okay, that's fine, whatever. But the later controversy is that they're just getting worse. And unless you happen to agree with her, but if you agree with some of the stuff she's saying, you're frankly an idiot. And that's all I'll say about that.
Right on.
But the interesting thing for Disney is if they try to recast her, that role requires an actress of a certain physicality.
Yeah.
Which means they spend time in the gym. People who are gym rats, and this is a blanket statement, immediately, a generality, tend to have a certain political affiliation and a worldview. Because of believing in self-reliance as they do. So I wonder if that's, I mean, there's a, I wonder if #fire Gina Carano, we're just going to be there again in 2 years with someone else.
It's a good question. I mean,
yeah. It's a horrible question. I hate that we're here, but she apparently can't stop tweeting stupid shit. And I really like that character and she's great in the role. That's a damn shame.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that show. I wonder when or if they return to the Resistance timeline.
Yeah, I mean, if The Mandalorian goes long enough, they're going to kind of, you know, get close to it at least, if not collide with it. But there's a lot of space and time, no pun intended, between those storylines. So who knows?
I think it would be a shame if we don't get to see those characters in better stories.
I agree.
Disney did those thespians and the character is dirty, accidentally, not maliciously, despite what some people will tell you, because they didn't build their trilogy correctly. Yeah, I'd love to see him give it another try, and much like Filoni has, you know, quote unquote, fixed the prequel era, it'd be lovely to see the same thing happen with the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, a little bit of world building goes a long way. Just get to it when you get to it.
Yeah, I lost count of the series coming out.
Yeah,
on Investor Day, I will say that I bought the annual plan. Unequivocally, and was not surprised 10 days later to see that the prices was going to go up. I was like, yes, that sounds right.
I'm also an annual plan subscriber, full disclosure.
Yeah, that was quite the flex from Disney.
Yeah, man, just dropping series left and right. Unbelievable.
Which one are you most excited for?
Of the Star Wars one, or just in general of all of them?
Any of them. Yeah. I guess it gets harder if we don't break it down by...
Because, like, all the Marvel stuff is just intriguing as hell.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it at that for the Marvel piece of it. Cause, okay. Like, I'm frankly at the least, I am the least excited about the Obi-Wan one. Less so because they announced Hayden Christensen's coming back. That
oh, really?
Took it down a notch for me. I mean, I get it. I get what they're trying to do there, set up some implications and backfill some stuff, which naturally comes about. It feels like in line with what they've been doing with Clone Wars and Rebels and all the other stuff. So I'll watch it. I'm watching it. Don't get me wrong, but okay. I'm just not that interested in seeing where things go.
Oh, that's interesting. Cause that's, I think that's a very atypical response to that.
Probably. I mean, he's a good character. I just, again, not as excited as seeing what happens with Ahsoka next, for example.
That's fair. It just, as we saw with the reception to Rogue One, people have really wanted to see him, that character, cut loose. And I think now we get to see Vader, you know, hunting down the Red Mariners. I think that's where they'll go with it. And that's interesting as hell to me.
Sure. I mean, I'm watching a lot of that in Rebels right now, actually. The Inquisitor. It's interesting to me. I was telling my wife Jo this, like, my first introduction to the official, I'll say official, expanded Star Wars story outside the movies was actually, what's it called? Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. The game, the PS4 game and PC and Xbox game that came out last year, I guess. I played it this year, where I was introduced to the Inquisitors and hunting down remnant Jedi and kind of the vague semblance of a resistance starting, and saw Guerrero, you know, showing up again and stuff like that. And but didn't think too much of it at the time when I played the game. I'm just like, okay, they have this guy who's, you know, a former Padawan, and he's got a fight some people with other lightsabers. Otherwise, what kind of game are we playing here, folks? Let's be real. I mean, it's gotta be give me some lightsabers, please. And then to see the Inquisitors show up in Rebels, which is roughly the same timeline, and then kind of like fill out the origin of them, and Vader features heavily in Rebels so far. I've only seen two seasons, starting season three now. And Clone Wars.
Well, you're halfway done, if I understand correctly.
Something like that. Yeah, I think so. And then having Clone Wars, you know, fill in.
I just realized Clone Wars is like MASH. It went on longer than the actual wars.
Yeah. Seven seasons. But it was great. And then seeing some of those characters pop up again in Rebels and how interconnected everything is. It's like, this is the Marvelization of Star Wars that I didn't know I really wanted, but I did. And it surprised me. It's like, okay, what I learned from the game fills in on the Rebels. And like, I get more story than I bargained for because I had that background, just like we were just talking about with Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice. It's like, wow, this is like cogent, coherent, and like doesn't skip big details and isn't trying to be too sweeping and epic. Like it is, but it's also fun. And it feels like under control and like really, really well put together, really well stitched together. And so that kind of, I'm more excited about some of the characters that I invested in that stuff, and seeing that kind of timeline, then maybe some of the Obi-Wan stuff. Although again, I'm going to watch the Obi-Wan show. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me that, cause I'm, I could see that being that show being problematic as well, but I think it's because I don't know if I want to watch Obi-Wan's retirement, which is, I guess, essentially what that show is.
Is he going to be like, I'm getting too old for this shit, and then he's going to have to come out of retirement?
Oh, see, now you brought me around. That's an Obi-Wan that I can get behind. Oh, he does say that in the first movie, doesn't he?
Does he? Maybe. I don't remember.
I need your help, Luke. She needs your help. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing. Oh,
well, there you go.
Fucking Murtaugh stole that shit. Wow. Deep truths we're uncovering today.
So that makes Luke Riggs then, doesn't it? This is not the Star Wars comparison I thought I was going to be walking into, yeah, but hell, let's do it.
This doesn't start to fall apart real quick.
Lethal Lightsaber, coming to you, hang Disney Plus.
I have to add fuck my life here to the stream.
So Key, I don't know if you can hear me, but we were just talking about a Lethal Weapon and Star Wars crossover where Obi-Wan is Murtaugh and Luke is Riggs.
Oh, man, I'm too old for this shit. That sounds great.
Yeah, we went unexpected places in the last 20 minutes.
I kind of figured. So did I.
Really? I feel like I know exactly where you went.
The bowels of Apple.
This episode, unsponsored in part by Big Sir.
All right, so the full extent that I got to converse with you boys about the greatness that is Mandalorian was that Bib Fortuna is fat, and Boba Fett had gotten fat.
Mm-hmm.
That really covers it.
No, it doesn't cover it at all. That's just what we talked about. let's circle back around, man. You're the biggest Star Wars fan I know. How awesome was this on the awesome Richter scale?
Oh my God. I would assume this is what Viagra feels like. A resurrection. It made Eminem drop a new album.
Being capitalized.
Yep. It made Eminem drop a new album.
A resurrection.
Oh, that shit was great. It was perfect. It was perfect. I've been waiting on that for 40 years, 30 years. I don't need a sequel trilogy. It killed a trilogy in one fell swoop. So I'm not certain
it does, though.
Well, I'm just saying that as far as the excitement that started this podcast was, getting Star Wars to come back, the sequel trilogy. That was our first podcast on this thing. And the excitement that I had there versus what we got, I mean, it wasn't bad, but boy, it took some work for it to feel good. And this thing is just like an unexpected home run. It's kind of like the last 2 years, and it's done so perfectly that you could have not seen any Star Wars for the last, even if you haven't seen any Mandalorian, you can get a sense of what's going on from this one episode. So I just love it. I had to watch it twice because the family was audibly screaming the entire final 15 minutes out loud at every given moment. Oh, yay, we're saved. That was what a great line.
But then they were. And it felt very right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was great. They've teed up a good situation for the Mandalorian to be dealing with going into the future. I'm curious, is that the last we've seen of Baby Yoda, of Grogurt or Grogu?
Grogurt.
That's what I've been
at your local grocery store.
Yeah, I've been calling him Grogurt. That's how I remember it.
I hope not. I don't think so.
I felt like it was. I felt like this was, okay, now they're going to segue into something else. It's no longer going to be about the child. It's going to be that Mandalorian's going to go and do his thing.
If by doing his thing you mean rule Mandalore.
Yeah, that was fun.
What a fun setup, right?
Yeah, it was a fun setup, although I feel like, I don't know, it's a bit twisted, because what's his name, the bad guy? I can't remember his name.
Moff Gideon?
Yes, Moff Gideon. When Moff Gideon is saying, well, that's not how it works. The sword has no power. It's the story that goes with it. And I'm like, well,
thank you, Tyrion.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that, well, the solution is kill Moff Gideon right where he stands and everybody else will keep the secret. And that'll be fine. It'll work just work itself out just fine, you know?
That's the Daenerys gambit.
Yeah. Just kill him out.
This example's not getting better.
Just take forever to write the last book, and then nobody knows where the story goes. They fill in whatever they want.
There you go. So what was y'all's take?
Sheer excellence and just my amazement that there was people trying to poke holes in it and even they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. There's frankly, everybody I've ever known has reached out to me in the last 48 hours. It's been here. It is.
So now you know who's dead and alive now.
Yeah, right. It was like Star Wars Christmas. And one of my
if they haven't called you, it's like, oh.
One of my friends that's as big into Star Wars as I am has not been able to see any of The Mandalorian. And it has been a trial of just mutual friends having an intervention trying to get him whatever sleep he is finding to stop doing it and watch Mandalorian instead. Go full 24 hours without sleep. Watch 10 hours of Mandalorian, you'll be good.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't think you need to watch the entire two seasons. I think you could pick about 3 episodes and be good.
I mean, I wouldn't suggest that, but I think that's probably true.
Well, for somebody that doesn't have the time to watch it, I'd say you can pick out 3 episodes and get the entirety of how badass this series is. Then go back and fill in the blanks if you want. Hell, my parents even watched this shit. That's how, my God. Oh, I got a new chapter. Remember, I was raised in a household where my father has the most amazing criticisms of movies and shows.
Like, oh, we're back to shit.
Let's do it.
Dad's head.
So the reason why The Mandalorian sucks, gentlemen, now I'm sure you haven't noticed it, but the sun never shines. It's too dark. And I don't mean dark like dark storyline. I mean literal darkness. That it's just too dark. That's it. That's it. It's too dark.
To be fair though, he didn't hate it though. He just that I guess that aspect of it bothered him.
No, he hated it. It's too dark.
It's those aspects that bother him.
That is, remember, the Lord of the Rings sucked because they never showed them going to the restroom.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It took it out. It made it completely unenjoyable, okay? Mandalorian sucked because it was too dark. They never have any light. Dad, they're in space. It's too dark. Dad, there was an entire episode where the Mandalorian out in the middle of broad daylight set that baby on a fucking rock and fought hundreds of stormtroopers with Boba Fett in the daylight. It's too dark. Even then, it was dark. It's killing me.
I think you need to have your father check for cataracts.
Oh, dude, I thought that.
This is my semi-professional opinion on the situation.
It's remarkable at this point. It was remarkable years ago. It just continues to be remarkable. I mean, he's an artist. He paints in hate. The way other artists use clays and oils. The ways he finds to despise enjoyable things. My God. And you know what he went back to watching?
High Chaparral?
Rawhide in black and white. Rawhide.
He should watch Gunsmoke.
Oh, he does? Oh, yeah.
Because Harrison Ford's in that.
That's on the list. He's got Gunsmoke, Rawhide, the
Rifle. I'm not even kidding. a young Harrison Ford shows up.
Yeah. Well, it had every actor known to man on it. Between Rawhide and Gunsmoke. Oh, my God.
Now, The Mandalorian is flawless. It's so good that Goranson put in dubstep, and it worked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me. We're supposed to go back to how the Dark Troopers suck.
Well, they don't suck. They had dubstep. That's how they activated.
Okay. They're activated by dubstep.
Activate the dark troopers. Yes, Moff Gideon.
the beat doesn't drop until they fully boot up. You know, that's right. How it works.
And I was like, this kind of works.
It did. The first thing I thought was a Star Wars dubstep. Here we are.
It's quite the flex from Gorenton. That's all I got to add.
Well, you remember the Boba Fett rap they had back in like 1998 or 99?
What?
The Fett.
My are you talking about Fett's Vet?
My backpacks are jets. I drive around for Job of the Hutt to finance my vet. I haven't thought of those words in 22 years.
There's a reason.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, you have this dais, though, right? Don't sit down on the dais. Never get back up.
I didn't think that I'm going to mispronounce her name. Ming-Na Wen?
Yeah, it's pretty much how you say it.
I really didn't.
Is it not Ming?
Ming-Na Wen, yeah.
Ming-Na Wen. Yeah. He played the part of Wolverine for the better part of how many seasons? 8, 9 years on
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. And I was like, that woman's never going to get as badass a part as that again. And she went from that to this. And I'm just, oh, man, this woman's, she's killing it right now. Just killing it.
It's literally what she was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of sad. I didn't understand why they had her doing all the killing, marching into the place when it would have been more badass having Boba Fett doing it. I'm afraid that, you know, he's going to retire and let her do all the hard work.
I think he was still walking up the hill.
Go ahead.
It's the establishment of a trend, right? He sat down, like, he's not getting back up. She's got to do all the work now.
Yeah, well, it's probably like, we're going to this cave. It's too dark. I can't see.
Take off your helmet, asshole.
Dark. Switch to infrared.
Why is it always night on the Tatooine? With two suns. Fuck, two suns. Too dark. God damn it. I'm gonna call him and make that point. There's two fucking suns. It's too dark. God damn it.
Don't do that. You're just gonna lose an hour of your life when you can be watching a show you like.
Oh no, but that's just it. That every time I watch The Lord of the Rings, I, at least there's one that says remember that. I don't want to remember it. If I could kill that one with some kind of drug, I would. I can't kill that sin ass. And now I've got a sin dedicated to how dark. I'm going to watch the series over again and look and see. And every time it'll be bright enough, but I'll still remember it. God damn it. Well, Baby Yoda was good. I love the fact that he took off his helmet there in front of God and everybody. He did not give a shit. I'm pulling up my helmet. That was great.
It was time.
Is that the first attempted suicide we've seen? No. They had an earlier suicide when the guy.
And yeah, did you skip recap?
Yep. That's right.
I want to give a shout out to our first antebellum Imperial officer. That was great.
Yeah.
We had our first non-British commander.
Yeah.
Reminiscing about the good old days.
That's
back
really...
on Aldernam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Caught that too. Mispronounced it.
It's hard not to catch it. It was just there in my face for 5 minutes. Until Bill Burr couldn't stand it anymore.
Oh.
Put a goddamn answer it. McClunky indeed.
Oh, they got a McClunky in there too.
They did.
So now I'm dying to. I could not remember what was the official definition of McClunky. Is it get him? Because that's
no.
What
it's this is, I think it's the this is the end for you or something like that.
Oh God,
that's McClunky's doing a lot of work there.
It's economical language there on Tatooine.
You know, I completely forgot until you just mentioned it that they got a McClunky in there. Oh my God. It really had everything. If they had somebody in a Slave Leia costume, I think they would have hit the holy trifecta. That would have been it for Star Wars forever. They couldn't get any better than that.
You're right, but Disney put the kibosh on it.
Bah!
That's their actual biggest misstep. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah. Well, now I got to go back and watch and see what that the Twi'lek was wearing.
Maybe not much.
Maybe, yeah, I know, not much. Maybe she had it on. I didn't notice.
No, I know she did not.
It's only been 5 years. I'm impressed that they're still catching Twi'leks. You'd think word had gotten around.
I was reading on Wikipedia that that's kind of their thing.
Being chained?
No, they're kind of a they're just they're kind of like the if you're gonna like own a slave, I guess that's the one you own in the Star Wars galaxy. As weird as that is,
it's weird,
man.
Yeah,
and particularly that Bib Fortuna is a Twi'lek, so that's even worse. He deserved to die. I keep tripping over the timeline aspect of this because I keep thinking it's been many years, but it really, I mean, it's been a rough 5 years for Bib Fortuna. I mean, it was 5 years since Return of the Jedi, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He got that fat in 5 years' time. He must have had back surgery. Or kids. I want that comic series. I want to see what happened to Fortuna over the last 5 years.
It runs in parallel with Boba being digested by the Sarlacc.
That's yeah. Right.
It just bounces back and forth between the two. Well, they're both eating. See, they tie the scenes together with the meals, you know.
They're eating very well for a desert planet. That's all I'm going to point out there.
Right?
Both
yeah.
of them. Well, I asked Daryl already, Key, while you were wrestling with Big Sur, so I'll ask you again. I'll ask you now, rather. Which of the new Disney shows are you most excited for?
Jesus, Harold.
Is that dropping also?
Ahsoka. Probably.
I would believe it.
The latest Marvel hero, Jesus himself. Jesus versus Galactus, coming 2024. Merry Christmas. Or what's the better joke, Jesus versus Galactus or Jesus versus Dr. Doom? What's the comic you'd rather read?
Jesus versus Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
They both have a propensity to speak in the third person, so that'd be fun.
Wow. Oh, God. So,
you know, Victor couldn't stand the idea that Reed was smarter than him. Now you have the son of God. He's real, that's really good. Like playing to his like.
Didn't you read that
infernal Jesus? Bah.
Oh no. Well, you qualified that with Disney shows. I'd have to split it up into Star Wars versus Marvel. Otherwise, I'm just going to have a seizure and fall over.
Let me put on my sombrero and say, I will allow it.
Star Wars-wise, I think Ahsoka.
Okay.
I think they've got so much background with her that anything they do with her at this point is going to be good. There's so much potential there, too, because remember, it's still a little bit fuzzy. If you guys watch, did either of you watch Rebels?
I have not begun it, and Ariel's in the middle of it.
Oh, well, shit. Then I don't want to say too much because the end of Rebels is a big question of where, you know, it leaps forward in time, but you don't quite know where. And so some of the things, there's...
It's Infinity War all over again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of story potential there with Rebels characters in the future with Ahsoka that are left right there at the end of Rebels. So to see Ahsoka in this one, and you don't quite know if she's already completed what she was doing in Rebels or not, but the fact she's looking for Thrawn is a big tie into Rebels.
Right, and that's why I think I'm with you on it. I think that would be my pick as well, just because I love Thrawn so much. I didn't watch Rebels. I just read the novels back in the day.
Oh my God! Just watch the last season. That's all you got to watch. And actually, you can probably just get online and find a couple of videos that could knock it out for you.
Oh, I've seen bits and pieces of it here already, so I know some of the high points and
yeah, Ahsoka versus Vader.
No, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Oh, there's a lot of good stuff that happened in that show, and then on the Marvel side, probably Loki. I think that Loki's going to be spectacular. Although Secret Invasion sounds good too. Anything with Samuel Jackson, you just...
It occurred to me this morning, actually. I think Black Widow is going to be like the thing that we use to like demarcate at the end of the pandemic. I know that sounds weird, but I think that is going to be the first big movie as we come out of it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm trying to think of any other big films that were... Well, that and Dune, right?
Except that's going to HBO Max, I believe.
Is it?
I think so. I'm almost positive.
Yeah, in theaters and HBO Max.
For oh, shit.
That's the big development we haven't talked about since last we convened.
Mm-hmm.
We spent a whole episode just discussing, you know, Disney, like thinking we're going to focus on streaming and what that would do to theaters.
Right.
And we were specifically saying, Ariel, that if Warner was the lone holdout, and now now we get Gal Gadot for Christmas. So I
straight to your home.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah, I was a good boy this year, evidently.
When is that coming out, by the way? When's that hitting?
Christmas Day,
Christmas
bro.
Day.
Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to have a Christmas Story on repeat on one TV and Wonder Woman on the other. That's bizarre.
As his soul.
I guess we get up in the morning and sit down
get some tissues. Pixar, we will make you cry.
I feel like we need to just like tell the kids, wait, we're not going to open presents yet. Wonder Woman just hit. gotta watch this.
No. Give them their presents so they'll leave the fuck alone.
Oh.
What are you doing?
If they're old enough, they're going to want to watch it.
Like, I mean, like for like 20 minutes. You have Gen Z kids. They don't sit down.
No, they're older now. We've been watching like Terminator and Die Hard. Life's been good.
That does sound good. I got a rejoinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told my daughter that we're going to watch a Christmas movie she'd never seen before, and she refused to believe that Die Hard would be a...
This old saw again.
And by the end of it, she was like, that's the best Christmas movie I've ever seen. And now she understands.
Well, the bar is so low.
Oh, yeah. There's not a lot of good ones.
See, mine's Batman Returns.
There you go. Also a good one.
Number two, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. To answer the question nobody asked.
See, they need to do a gritty reboot with It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh. I thought you were saying of Rudolph. I was like, I think Matt TV did that. Like, it literally happened.
I started thinking the other day about Marvel getting their hands on Rudolph and then having, you know, like Rudolph be the first mutant reindeer and doing some kind of Marvel Christmas comic with Rudolph being a mutant, and then somehow Apocalypse would get involved.
as he always does.
That's right. What was the question? Loki. Oh, that's yeah.
What's your I was telling Cyrus earlier before you joined back that Obi-Wan is probably the one I'm least looking forward to on the Star Wars slate. Where do you stand on the
Oh
Obi-Wan?
My god, least. I am absolutely looking forward to that. Did you ever read the Obi-Wan novel?
No.
Okay.
So give him the full title, Obi-Wan. So goddamn tired.
It's gonna be tricky because the novel.
Oh, my Obi-Wan! It's too dark on this planet.
Somebody, give me a flashlight. My lightsaber stopped working 10 years ago.
Turn up the tint.
Gamma increase.
So that novel, it was pretty much the outlaw Josie Wales. I mean, it was like that. So then The Mandalorian comes out, and it's pretty much kind of, you know, put a great imprint on, you know, Old West Star Wars. That's it. I mean, these are all Old West TV shows just redone in the Star Wars universe. So I'm real curious. Okay, well, the Obi-Wan, that was kind of the thing. That was going to be the thing. So I have no clue. Are they going to try and just keep going with that thing or, you know, do something else? So
that was my concern as well, that I voiced it a little while ago while you were updating. I don't know what you do with him. Right, he spends, you know, a not insignificant amount of time being crazy old man out in the desert.
Well, that's just it, is that he's going to see, at least what the novel was like, is that he's going to come across bad things and problems. And the issue at hand is that he can't do anything about it. And everything in his entire life was about doing something about it. And now he can't. Or he's got, that's the rub, right? It's like you can't use your powers, and you can't step out and do something or help somebody, because you bring attention to yourself and jeopardize everything. And that's the constant push and pull. So I'm pretty eager to see that.
I feel like you just described the 70s Incredible Hulk television series.
It is! Yeah!
They just play the sad music and Obi-Wan's hitchhiking down the desert.
Slash Kung Fu.
That's it! You nailed it! Yeah, that's it! That's exactly right! It's gonna be... I wish I had that music in my head. Just whatever.
No, that's dubstep. You're doing that. Or a cat. I don't know.
Sad piano.
Yeah, right.
But sad Tatooine piano with like the vague electronica style.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it. So
for me, it's a character who's I'm so interested in. I've already forgotten his name. Andor.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, Han Solo B? No, thank you.
Han Duo, please.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to do that, do Lando. What the fuck?
Well, they are doing Lando.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the million announcements.
Yeah. It's the Lando series.
Well, speaking of Harrison Ford, he's also doing Indiana Jones 5.
Man.
The last.
He will be 90 when it drops.
That's titled It's Too
No, excuse me. I'm exaggerating. He'll be 80 when it drops.
Yeah. My God.
I would have believed it either way.
We're back to our, we need to have an intervention with him.
We needed that with the last one.
Oh, dear God.
I'm hoping they recast his son.
I think you weren't in the episode where I was telling Cyrus that I'm upset that there are going to be more sniper movies. Total canon than there are Indiana Jones movies by the end. I can't believe that.
Sniper. And,
yes. Yes. There are, I think, 8 sniper films.
What?
Yes. And Indiana Jones is going to cap out at 5. Are you freaking kidding me, man?
I'm Googling sniper because I don't even know the film.
Please go incognito. First. Pro tip. I'm sure not that actually fucking does anything, but
yeah, I don't even know where they're gonna go with that one. Is it, I assume since he's older, it'll be yet further down the timeline.
What 60s? The fuck? You're talking about a sniper from 1993?
Yes.
Tom Berenger still lives? He still breathes?
Yes.
Now he has a cane that doubles as a rifle, but yeah.
He's got a red dot sight. It's on there, man.
Oh, my God.
He just puts a tennis ball in there instead of a silencer.
Why do you have that box of tennis balls in your car? Oh, you'll know.
The cold hurts my hip.
The first movie only made $19 million, and they've made how many more?
I swear there's like 7 or 8.
Some things just exist, man.
Yeah, it bothers me that movie is going to have a longer legacy than Indiana Jones. That franchise has not seen the care and feeding that Star Wars and Marvel.
No,
with the bat, but it had badass Billy Zane going forward.
He's a cool guy.
Oh. This movie looks all lit.
I want to bring something up with the podcast that I've been holding off on because Errol doesn't know, but then not because I didn't want you to know, but because I wanted to bring it up on the show. Key and I have been talking ourselves like through our impending financial crisis regarding Star Wars Galactic Cruiser.
Oh,
Galactic Cruiser!
This is the new new Disney Walt Disney World Star Wars hotel that's coming out.
Oh, okay.
Get Costco to hell dollars to go to. And we've been texting back and forth on and off during this year of hell about how in the shit we're going to come up with the cash to go to this thing.
No kidding.
What's the freaking room rate on this thing?
The rumor is 3,000.
A night?
Presumably. Well, I think I don't think so, but I think it's like for a couple of nights, but per person.
Still.
Yeah.
I think it's three nights.
Yeah.
I think
something like that.
Because what you're signing in for, this is the part I'm still a little fuzzy about. I mean, you're getting like this giant role play experience over multiple days. You're on a ship. So now how this exactly works, as far as like, okay, you go to the park, do your things. We better be back by 7 because the Imperials told us we'll be whipped if we don't. So.
And presumably there's games and such stuff there. I mean, I think the idea is you basically would just stay at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. You're full-blown Star Wars at that point. People are cosplaying to dress up to go to Galaxy's Edge, and then this takes it to the next level already.
Foreclosure.
I'm going as Ben Fortuna myself.
Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The next level.
That's episode 10.
Yeah, we already said multiple times throughout the pandemic.
Oh no, you're COVID. Han. You just owe money.
Yeah,
that's the storyline. You literally have a lot of debts you got to pay off with this shit.
You got to smuggle a bunch of stuff, man.
Yeah, Disney employees are haranguing you for money the entire time. That's it, McClunky.
I mean, it sounds funny as fun as hell, but my God, that sticker price.
Oh my God. Whew. I know. And my children, I made it a mention like one time in the summer when we couldn't go do all the things that we had, you know, prepaid to do. And I still don't have my money back. Fuck you, StubHub. And so we said, oh, well, we'll go to Disney World when it's all over. And boy, that stuck. That we're fucked. There's no segue into some other trip, man. We're going to Disney World.
Were you planning to take them to Galactic Cruiser?
Frankly, I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. I really, if you have some ideas, you know, cancer or anything else that I might get. Because that would
work. But boy, let's call that Plan C.
Yeah,
that's cheaper. It's cheaper. I'm just saying.
Not in America's healthcare system, but well, it's close.
We need a social network for helping.
Start the GoFundMe now, man.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to put a GoFundMe on Facebook. It'll be right next to my other friends who, you know, own a restaurant and they're out of business.
Well, send me the URL. I'll put it in the show notes. We'll see what happens.
Oh, God. Oh. All 20 people donated $10 a piece.
Well, how often do you use your kidneys, really?
Right, I can get rid of one. I don't. Honest to God, I think if I got rid of a kidney, I still wouldn't have enough money to pay. No, it wouldn't be true. Worth the value. I'm not sure there's any parts of me left that are valuable enough, other than the metal in my spine. That's it.
Jesus.
Got pure Beskar.
But you could sell one of the kids, so the other two could have a good time. I think that might do it.
I'm not sure. That might do it. You're right.
Yeah.
Because that would lower the price per person. That would. That there's double bang for the buck there.
I want to emphasize I'm not actually advocating for this. I was just crunching the numbers out loud.
Yes, that's right. This is purely mathematical exercise.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people.
What I don't get is how many friends I have that do this and like annually do this. And I don't know how they
do it. We've talked about this before. The trick is not to stay at the hotels.
No, they're staying in the park. I don't know how. I would have to starve. I just presume that you can't see their credit line.
I was about to say their hotels are appallingly high and honestly not that cool.
Yeah, my recollection is wasn't that amazing, but that Star Wars one is going to be worth it.
Well, no, because the markup is still so high. I don't know that I agree.
Well, I just mean being one of the first ones to go. Although I can't help but think that it's not like, I mean, you're going to go and do this Star Wars thing and you're going to have 50,000 other maniacs just roaming through it in their shorts and t-shirts. How much Star Warsy is it going to feel? You know, you got the family next to them beating their kids, you know, and you're trying to play with Chewbacca.
Someone's running around with a churro, like spreading churro dust everywhere.
Exactly.
A $7 churro, I might add.
Yeah, yes, and a $4 water. Let's.
Right, yeah. $7 if you're lucky.
No, it's a churro. $7 is about right. Well, I mean, it's not right, but that's what they would. That's what they're gonna charge. I had a $15 hot dog with macaroni and cheese on it not 2 years ago from a displaced Haitian. That was tough on my heart.
It just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, it was not. It was not a great feel. It was not. It's like Magic Kingdom, huh? Yeah. Apparently, the dungeon underneath the thing, like it runs concurrent with the sewer line, so it does not smell good down there either. One would imagine. Key could be able to enlighten us on how good sewage smells while baking in the sun.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You kind of feel it in your eyes, I'm guessing.
That moment of awareness when you realize that the mosquito on your arm was just standing in that sewage.
Birth from it.
Yes. And then there's you see the 10,000 other mosquitoes flying around, and you're like, yeah, Florida.
Well, to be fair, they actually don't have mosquitoes. They've eliminated all running water in their, all stagnant water in their parks. It's quite a feat of engineering. Actually, have no mosquitoes in what used to be a swamp in Florida. So yeah, I do want to give them a shout out for that. To be fair.
And they can have a few extra Mandalorians with that flamethrower embrace, just to take care of any stragglers.
When they both tried to flamethrow each other.
That was pretty good.
Was that not just a wonderful moment? I always wondered what would happen.
It was, but it also wasn't. I was like, that's not how fire works.
fair enough.
It canceled out of Star Wars.
I mean, I haven't done this, but I don't think that's how fire works.
Just remember that.
Pretty sure they both get burned. Yeah.
It wasn't normal fire. It was dim fire.
Right.
It was very dark fire. Yeah.
I really wanted Boba Fett to spank that youngster, though. He didn't destroy her as much as I was hoping.
Well, she hasn't been eating as well.
Fair enough. And he's an 80-year-old in a 50-year-old's body. Or a 50-year-old in an 80-year-old's body.
Yeah. My fear is the book of Boba Fett is going to be like he didn't actually want to become a gangster. He just really wanted that chair.
Oh God!
He doesn't actually do anything.
That is one of the problems I've had with Mandalorian was explaining to my parents where this fits in the time frame of things, because one can simply say, "Well, this was 4 or 5 years after Return of the Jedi when the Emperor was destroyed." One might knowingly nod and say, "Okay, all right, I can now play."
Okay, this is why this goes bad.
Yes, but. Instead, folks get confused when it's like, well, wait a minute, that guy playing Boba Fett, he was Jango Fett in episode 2, and he was all the clones, and that was like 20 or 30 years before Return of the Jedi. Why is he old now? And then you have to remind them that, well, this is the real world, so it's been about 20 years since they recorded those movies,
That part actually holds up. It's about the same time, a quarter of a century.
Oh, look, I get it. What I'm saying is that to the...
Not this hard?
to the elderly watching that show, their minds are blown. And they have no idea how Jango Fett or a clone has become Boba Fett. And now, this is the guy, this is Boba Fett? Yes. And he used to be whose son? He's a clone? Well, not like the other clones.
I guess it's not that straightforward if you don't live and breathe this shit, to be fair.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, I think it's that straightforward as long as you don't start asking questions like, oh, wait a minute, that actor looks like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no, no, no. Don't ask. Just go along with it. That's Boba Fett. You need nothing else. And then it was sad that how long have we waited since Return of the Jedi? It was 1983. So that would have been 17 plus 20, so 37 years, if I've done the math right, to see Boba Fett return in canon. I mean, there were little, I think Boba Fett did show up in some of the novels later on in the original run of the novels. But even then, you didn't see him in any kind of show or anything like that. There was nothing. So we waited 37 years. We finally get him back, and a week later, the guy that played Boba Fett, Jeremy Bullock, passed away.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah,
I hope you got to see it.
Yeah, that character's place in pop culture is fascinating because he was a fan favorite from day one, even when he didn't do anything. Just because everyone loved the design of the that figurine from 78 so much.
Oh, when they have every time they shoot that rocket from his back and he bends forward to do it, you damn well know they're doing that. I mean, he doesn't have to bend forward. He's got little, you know, the tracking software in his helmet visor. The only reason he's bending forward is because the toy did that back in 1978. And it is glorious. Whoever said, no, you've got to bend forward to shoot that fucking rocket.
Just, I could have sworn this was going to be an old joke.
No, it's fucking great.
That's where I thought you were going with that, though.
Oh, I love it.
I wouldn't put it past him. You guys have seen that picture making the rounds on social media, right?
Which one?
It's two young boys playing with their Star Wars toys, and the caption reads, "John Favreau and Dave Filoni breaking the story for the Mandalorian."
Yeah, I did see that. I wish I could have had another one that was the guy holding the camera recording those two guys, and I would put J.J. Abrams on the guy holding the camera, because J.J. Abrams likes Star Wars movies, but he didn't like Star Wars. I think that's the difference.
As we close out, please explain what that means to me and our audience.
To me, it's the movie itself, what the movie did, its style, its role in the universe as far as the birth of the blockbuster film, right? The summer blockbuster, what all that entails. And all, the style of it, Lucas's way he did all of it. I think all of that, J.J. Abrams is a expert in that genre. And I guess I wouldn't say that genre. The genre is really, you know, that you can appreciate.
Space wizards.
Well, No. The film genre. How you construct a film.
The cinematography.
He did it in Super 8, right? With Spielberg's work. I mean, that felt like Spielberg when you watch that. It did the same with Star Trek, that it kind of felt like Star Trek. And same thing with Star Wars. So he's a expert at the milieu, at the medium. That's the word I'm looking for, with that medium. But I don't think that he was as embedded in the story element of Star Wars and how it's all about family and that kind of stuff, that say, to the extent that Favreau and Filoni are. I feel like those two, you know, they're first lovers of Star Wars. Second, they are good at crafting the stories and making the shows. And I'd flip it and describe it. It's not a knock against JJ. It's just an entirely different way of coming at it in terms of how you make it.
You think he admired the creation process, not the lore?
Prioritized, I would say. Not necessarily that he didn't prioritize the lore. It just was second fiddle to the film itself, the filmology of it.
Yeah. I was thinking about this recently. I think it's the irony of, well, one of the many ironies of the sequel trilogy is that the one guy who had a story, they didn't make that guy's movie.
Yeah.
Because the railroad shippers would have had a goddamn fit. That's so fascinating.
Yeah, as well. Well, the other fun part, though, is realizing that we could all be sitting here in our 70s 25 years from now, and they've completely redone the sequels and just said, all right, none of those counted. We're going to redo it. We've seen it enough times everywhere else.
I wouldn't put it past them.
No, that would be, at least within film, unprecedented.
What?
To just make them, to just say, like, to just strike them and make 7, 8, 9 again? Yeah, that hasn't been done. There's nothing like that's been done before. We've had soft reboots, sure. But not, we fucked up. Let's just do it again.
Well, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Hulk.
You're talking about erasing part of it, though.
I don't know.
Starting all over.
Spider-Man, they started all over again, right? Hell, three times.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But So if you're saying it, I could see a scenario when we're very elderly, when they start, they just redo episode one. Okay. That there's precedent for that, but not to just take excise part of it, though.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, you very well could. I mean, just say, look, all right. No,
you certainly could. I'm just saying it hasn't happened yet. I don't. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has currently designed has no plans to do from that. You can tell by the slate.
Well, look what they're doing with Spider-Man.
They're going where they haven't gone with the comics haven't even done that. They're like, you know what? Now we're retiring characters.
Yeah. Did you see with Spider-Man? Have you guys already had a cast?
I think you mean that? Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yes.
The Spider-Verse.
The money verse is what they're banking on.
No shit, right?
If anyone else was doing it, I'd be like, that can't possibly be good, but
right.
Although Tom Hardy made a Venom film. That happened.
Don't remind me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Venom 2, the Venoming, I guess. I don't know what the hell they're called.
No, I never finished the Venom film.
That is stunning.
I got halfway through it and then got pulled off doing something else and never went back.
I was trapped on a plane, so I just might as well finish it.
Yeah. Too many Venoms on this goddamn plane.
That's always the mark of a great film.
That's actually kind of the ending, actually.
I'm a prisoner, so I guess I'm watching this to the end.
There were, in fact, too many Venoms.
Oh, are you sure?
On the shuttle. I'm not kidding.
Unbelievable. Oh, it's Maximum Carnage, right? That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, yeah. Okay, well, whoopity flu.
With Woody Harrelson.
Oh, sure. Dear fuck. That's not true, right?
That's 100% true.
Oh, God.
He was even in the first one.
That's like Emma Stone being like in the 101 Dalmatians prequel. What are we doing here, people?
Well, if you're particularly going for a long franchise, I mean, Woody's got to be 10 to 15 years older than me. So I mean that we're going to end up having Indiana Jones in
Old Man Carnage.
Old Man Carnage.
I can't imagine there was anyone thirsty to know like why Cruella was into like wearing dogs though.
You got to build the Dalmatian cinematic universe, Cyrus.
That's right.
You got to have that shit cross over with Lady and the Tramp. You got to build a whole dogs universe. Disney dogs.
Someone had this conversation, like, unironically, though.
I know. That's the bad part, right?
It was like, hurriedly, you know, doing the math, like, well, maybe we should, yeah.
There's like red yarn everywhere and some kind of board with all these dogs, Pluto, you know, the whole goddamn thing.
You know, on Netflix, there's this show with, I think it's Selena Gomez.
Yep.
They've made, what's it called, a Christmas Prince or something like that? The Christmas Prince?
Oh, I was talking about like the Selena show on Netflix, which is an actual thing as well that no one asked for.
What is
it? The show about Selena, the Chicano.
No, this is, I'm forgetting it. I'm going to fuck it up. There's some Christmas, like something princess something or other.
There's a lot of Christmas princesses. It's a whole genre.
Well, the trick is they've made like four different movies with the same actress. And by the fourth movie, you find out that
Hang on. I'm going to cut you off for 1 second. Are they actually different? Is it actually the same actress? Or is it just like the Cardi B phenomenon where they just all look the same?
No, it's the same actress, but different films that are on Netflix. And you go into this, over the last 4 or 5 years, they've made these movies. And you go into it thinking, they just made a deal kind of like with Adam Sandler. You're going to crank out four different films. Sure. Well, no. It turns out that by the fourth film, they are laying the groundwork for this being an interconnected multiverse where this Selena Gomez character is like reincarnated in these various roles. And it's heading towards a big like Endgame shit.
Wait, I think you mean Boxing Day.
Dude, this sounds like it was written by Jonathan Hickman. His current X-Men run is reminiscent of this.
Oh my God. I finally
his got anything to run is reminiscent of that.
I finally got to reading some of that and it is awesome. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit. That's been years since I've seen something that good with the X-Men. That's great. Now I'm trying to remember what the A Christmas Prince, is that it? No,
God. I mean, that is a thing. I don't know if that's what you're referencing, because there is like a, there really, it's a genre now.
It really is.
We're gonna have a landing site, you know, like a Christmas Cinematic Universe or whatever on the Netflix.
Man, this is a dark, dark place I'm going. There's too many Selena Gomez films on Netflix. I can't wade through them all, gentlemen.
Listen, people were thirsty for that shit. They needed it.
She's not the hero that they deserve, but she's the one they need right now.
Yep,
Netflix really is just a giant condemnation of American culture. It's when you see what they make because people watch it.
Google Netflix Princess Movies Connected.
There's your show title right there.
I'd say, we're out.
How the Netflix Christmas Universe Connects.
Unbelievable. The MCU.
And scene. God. Ladies and gentlemen. I have been Cyrus Wasabi of Kirkland, Washington. I can't top that, so I'm getting the hell out of here.
It started with A Christmas Prince. And then
I mean, in Netflix, The Christmas Baronet.
That was 2017. 2018, there was A Christmas Prince, The Royal Wedding, but also The Princess Switch and Prince and the Pauper. And I'm sorry, I fucked it up. It's Vanessa Hudgens. Which, you're right, the Cardi B phenomenon is in full effect.
That's why she has the ponytail.
Yeah, it's Vanessa Hudgens. I screwed it up. It's not Selena Gomez. But you can understand why I got confused.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's 2019, A Christmas Prince, The Royal Baby. And then there's Holiday in the Wild does appear on TV in The Night Before Christmas.
The which Christmas is another Prince in the Tower.
And The Night
Before Christmas. Goes dark.
The Night Before Christmas is a night with a K, by the way. The night.
Of course. We're going to get the Christmas Queen's Gambit next.
A Dark Night Before Christmas? I can't wait.
Yeah, and then the Princess Switch switched again. This is the worst.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, they're all interconnected. It's going to lead to Doctor Strange 2, The Multiverse of Madness. Don't tell your significant others. You're going to end up having to watch all these motherfucking Christmas shows.
It's too late for me.
Careful. Careful. Save yourselves. I haven't told my wife or kids, and let's keep it that way. They don't even know I do this podcast. keep them in the dark.
With me in the dark has been Keyshawn Xavier.
It's too dark. I can't see.
Also with us. From Austin and the Comics Strip podcast has been Ariel Rodriguez.
Thank you for having me, sir.
This episode and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast are available at fullofsoundandfurypodcast.com or via subscription to things like Apple Music and Google Podcasts. This has been a Great Sword Studios production, copyright 2020.
There's never a sunny day on Tatooine.